Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 6, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, my full review of last night's WWE Raw. The members are listening to my full-length review in audio form of the show. Jake Barnett has a night off tonight, so I will be covering SmackDown Live this evening as it airs, so join me for live coverage as the show is on USA Network. And coming up after the break, for non-members, we will look ahead to tonight's WWE SmackDown Live television show. You know, we typically look ahead to Raw with several things that I'm looking forward to on that show on Monday afternoons, but with this being Labor Day week and a little bit of a slower day, just because coming out of the holiday, there's, for instance, the ratings most likely going to be delayed until Tuesday morning or even afternoon for Raw just because of the holiday. But today I want to take a moment to do that with the SmackDown Live show, since it is the go-home show as well for the Backlash pay-per-view on Sunday. And of course, you can join me for live coverage of that. As I like to say at this time of the year, the worst kickoff show coverage on the net, but some pretty damn good live coverage of the actual event itself. The reason it's kind of poor coverage is, well, there's that little thing called football. And yeah, I'll be watching that. Now, if there's an actual match on, no problem. But am I going to catch every little silly thing, every little bad joke that Jerry Lawler tells? No, probably not. But join me for live coverage on Sunday night for the Backlash show. Now, as far as things that I am looking forward to seeing tonight on Raw, or just some answers I'm looking for, things like that. First one, I want to see how the WWE Championship match between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles is presented. Styles just kind of, you know, I've been saying he looks and acts like a jock out of like some 80s teen comedy movie with that headband around his head and the hair going everywhere, and he's just being really over the top right now. And Ambrose was kind of back in wacky mode this past week, crotching AJ on the top rope. I mean, this is the best championship match that I think SmackDown has to offer. You can make a case for John Cena if he was in the title picture, but he's, you know, I mean, he's going to appear for them this week. I don't think he's going to be on SmackDown necessarily, but he is going to appear for them on the overseas tour. But aside from that, you know, he's expected to be off making his television show for Fox soon. So this is it. I mean, it's Ambrose. As far as like Ambrose being the champion, this is the best they can do, in my opinion, is AJ Styles. It's a match that I want to be excited about, but I need them to sell me on this being an epic must-see title match. It's just the main event of the first SmackDown brand pay-per-view. I think there's a chance we see the title change hands, and I want them to really do a good job on the go-home week of making this feel exciting. I mean, say what you will about Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler and that whole program heading into SummerSlam, at least they had intensity. I mean, they were at each other, they were in each other's face. You know, there was intensity there, and we just haven't seen that yet from kind of goofy AJ the Challenger and too cool to care Dean Ambrose so far. Second thing, we know we're getting the semifinals of the Tag Team Championship tournament tonight on SmackDown, and I sure hope it makes sense in retrospect. We may not know tonight, but we may coming out of the pay-per-view on Sunday. I want it to make sense that there was some booking logic behind having the Usos and American Alpha meet in the semifinals of this tournament rather than in the finals. The brackets just look stupid. I mean, they look lopsided with the two best tag teams in the division on one side, and then on the other side, you have the makeshift duo of Heath Slater and Rhino getting a title shot just because, or at least a shot in the tournament just because. And then the Headbangers, a team who hadn't appeared on WWE television in 16 years, they get a spot on that side too. It's silly. So as much as I'm looking forward to the Usos and Alpha, I really want to know why they took this approach. I think there probably is a reason that's going to play out here over the next couple of days. Third thing, though, tell me why I should care about the Women's Championship on SmackDown. I mean, they had at least had a tournament, as goofy as it, you know, was with the bracketing, but at least they had a tournament for the tag titles. I'm really having a hard enough time caring about the tag titles themselves, but with the women, they just threw them all into a six-pack challenge. I mean, it's like every wrestler, every female wrestler in the division, congratulations, you have a chance to win the championship. I mean, there's really nothing more to it. It's this championship that no one's ever held. You know, I want something on this show that says it's every woman for herself on Sunday, and I'd really like them to do something to make the title somehow feel prestigious. What does it represent to each woman in this match? Sell me on that. Make me care about this title because they just haven't done that so far. Also, tell me why I need to watch this Backlash kickoff show. I mean, just putting aside my love of NFL football, I mean, they are having a hard enough time filling out the Backlash pay-per-view lineup with these with meaningful matches. And so I want them to give me some incentive in terms of making me feel like it's worthwhile, a worthwhile investment to give up an hour of my time or your time or anybody else's that could be spent doing anything else, not just NFL football, but just anything else, rather than watch this kickoff show. And I'm not saying they've got to give us some big match, give away a big match they could have on pay-per-view on the kickoff show, but give me some type of a hook. Make me care about one of the matches, because I know I don't care about Booker T laughing uproariously at nothing, and Jerry Lawler telling those bad jokes that I mentioned earlier, Lita kind of stumbling over her words, and screw Tom Phillips and his stupid social media lounge. It's like they have like this running joke backstage about picking the worst possible fan questions to ask. So I just seriously, tell me why I need to spend an hour watching this show. I know I do. It's my job. But tell the fan, you know, give fans some incentive to watch this stupid kickoff show that feels needlessly long at an hour. But even if it, you know, if you're going to have it, give us a reason. Give us a hook. Give us something. We'll see what it is. Time for the WWE Raw hit list. We will start with the WWE Raw hits. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I gave this a hit for match quality, yet this easily could go down as a miss for the presentation. Their last televised match was billed as their final match, so why not build it up by having Owens use this as an excuse to duck Zayn and then force Sami to jump through hoops to get him back in the ring? Heck, I would have played this out by having Zayn win the Royal Rumble just to get Owens in the ring again. Now, of course, I have no idea what their long-term plans are and whether Owens is a long-term champion. Nevertheless, there should have been more to this than Mick Foley simply announcing the match on a whim. It was also disappointing that one of the best talkers in the industry had to share the spotlight and the mic with so many others. Again, though, Owens and Zayn can always be counted on to deliver a strong match, and this was no exception. The next hit, Sasha Banks' retirement speech. More of a mixed bag than a real hit or miss here, but it has to go somewhere on the hit list, right? Well, Sasha, claiming that she collected cans to save money for WWE tickets, I think it humanized her to some extent. And you can make the argument that her cousin is Snoop Dogg. I have some successful cousins. I've got a lot of, well, I've got kind of upper class, lower class, you say every, it kind of runs across the board when it comes to my cousins, because I have a, my mom especially comes from a big family. But, and none of them, I didn't, no matter, you know, the most successful one isn't at Snoop Dogg's level, don't get me wrong. But it's not like I expect any of the wealthy ones to share their money with me. Well, maybe a really, really cool birthday present one year, but that's it. But, you know, the point is that she ditched the boss act for a night, and she was more relatable as a babyface. Now, the negative is that it seemed odd for her to basically do a retirement swerve. It seems kind of cold for her character to play into the genuine emotions of the Edge and Daniel Bryan retirements and even the Finn Balor injury announcement, just to swerve Charlotte and Dana Brooke. The next hit is Seth Rollins and Chris Jericho, a strong match. In fact, it was much more competitive than I assumed it would be, given that this seemed to be Seth's first match as a babyface. WWE is in a tough spot with Rollins. He was more than willing to accept Triple H's help last week, and he's only a babyface because Hunter decided to help Kevin Owens instead of him. I was hoping to hear some type of turning point promo from Rollins, but the important thing is that the fans were behind him, despite the fact that he seemed more petulant over not getting his way than anything. The next hit is Bayley against Charlotte. I've made it more than clear that I'm not a big fan of positioning Bayley as a confident star right out of the gate. I've also noted that it's too late to hit the reset button on her NXT character. She is not the lovable underdog, though, to fans who didn't watch her in NXT. After all, they've watched her win every match she's had on the main roster, including getting a non-title clean pin on the women's champion in her third Raw match. This is great for fans who went on Bayley's journey with her throughout her NXT run, and hopefully their passion for her, combined with the tremendous skills of Bayley herself, is going to be enough to make the non-NXT followers get invested in her character. Like Rollins, the important thing is that the fans seem to be embracing her. All of that said, I have no idea why they had her beat the women's champion in a non-title match only to announce that Sasha would be getting the title shot. Are they setting up a triple threat? The next hit is Sheamus and Cesaro. It's always logical to have the babyfaces fall behind early and have to scrap their way back into a seventh match scenario. I also like that the tide should turn quickly with the fourth match of the series taking place in London tomorrow night, meaning that Cesaro could be down just a match, assuming he wins in London, and then again on Raw. So it could, the tide could turn quickly there is the point. And real quick, hey, we're looking for correspondents. If you're going to the show in London, hit me up, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Braun Strowman and Nia Jax, are our final hits. A minor hit for Strowman beating someone on the active roster, and Jax for having issues with someone else on the active roster, Alicia Fox. I'm all for squash matches, but the presentation of their squash match wins were too similar. My guess is that they're giving Strowman and Jax some main roster competition so they can get them both on the Night of Champions card, perhaps in kickoff show matches. By the way, Alicia Fox's freakout routine felt really forced and phony this time around. Now we are into the misses section. We will start with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon's follow-up. Before we get to that, I do want to take a moment to remind you that members are listening to my full review of the WWE Raw show from last night, and they will be also listening to a special Tuesday edition of the Q&A audio show later today where I answer their pro wrestling questions to start with, and then at the end we have some non-wrestling fun when I take their non-wrestling questions as well. Join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Visit the main page. Once you see the sign-up area, you're going to find three different pricing options in there. $7.50 for 1 month is the starting point. However, you want to commit to 6 months or even a year, you can whittle that price down. In fact, the annual membership rate drops to an average of $5.50 per month if you take that. For more details, again, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions, use that email address I just gave you, .netjason@gmail.com, or you can always reach me on Twitter, @ProWrestlingNet. All right, now for those misses. I said Triple H and Stephanie McMahon's follow-up. One of the big questions coming out of last week's Raw was why Hunter turned on Seth Rollins and helped Kevin Owens win the championship. This week, it became more about whether Stephanie was in on the plan. Does anyone really care what Stephanie knew? It's okay that WWE didn't have Hunter explain everything last night, but they really cooled things down by not offering an indication as to when he might explain himself. At the very least, I was hoping he would make a non-talking appearance late in the show to keep his actions fresh on the minds of viewers. The next miss, New Day, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, and Old Day, an atrocious segment. WWE has a badass heel team in Anderson and Gallows, yet they continue to showcase them in bad comedy angles rather than simply giving them in-ring credibility. It's a testament to the popularity of New Day that the live crowd was still behind them at the end of this mess. The next miss is Bo Dallas against Tyler Roberts. There was a time when I was all for giving Bo Dallas a secondary title reign, having him play the role of the vulnerable or even fluky heel champion. After watching him play the role of an enhancement wrestler for the last 2 years, even I've lost hope. The campaign sign was a bit groan-inducing silliness, and my guess is that they're giving him squash wins so that Strowman, or even Nia Jax, can destroy him. I'll be shocked if this leads to a substantial push for Dallas, especially coming off his recent arrest. The next miss is Enzo Amore and Big Cass against the Shining Stars. The Stars get a win to launch a feud with Enzo and Cass, but the problem is that the vast majority of fans have no interest in seeing this program. Cass went from challenging for the WWE Universal Championship last week, and now he's on the losing end of a match against the Shining Stars. Granted, Enzo was pinned, but this is still strange. And our final miss of the day, Darren Young. Not against Titus O'Neil, but against Jinder Mahal. The weekly Darren Young and Titus O'Neil segment featured Young showing better intensity than usual, but too much damage has already been done. I still have no desire to see this program. There's just still no sign that the fans are actually, that they actually like Young and Bob Backlund together. The entire feud just screams filler content for the three-hour marathon that is Raw. Now for some Raw bonus thoughts. I want to start by saying that I feel like WWE is doing a really good job of creating buzz at certain times. For instance, you had the Kevin Owens championship win. That definitely generated buzz. And in the same angle, you had Triple H turning on Seth Rollins. That generated a lot of buzz and interest. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago we had The Miz and Daniel Bryan having their big blowout on Talking Smack that got people talking. Problem is, they're doing a terrible job of maintaining the buzz with the follow-up. Owens as champion is still cool, but I can't say that it feels as significant. We're not buzzing about that today like we were last week. They didn't do anything last night to really get the keep the momentum going. Triple H was an afterthought on Raw last night, aside from whether Stephanie knew he was going to screw over Rollins. And they've already moved away from Bryan and Miz, and I understand that to a point, since it's a match that will probably never take place. You know, we talked about that previously here on the podcast, that you know Vince McMahon got upset when Steve Austin cut that promo about facing Brock Lesnar because it was a match that they could never deliver. And so the same thing could be in play here. It could also just be a swerve, and Miz is going to crash the set, and they're trying to create this dynamic that is not supposed to be happening. I don't know. But either way, they've had a chance to kind of transfer some of this onto someone else by introducing another wrestler who represents the same style that Daniel Bryan worked. And I suggested Roderick Strong. Samoa Joe is an option, and the list goes on. But instead, they go back to The Miz against Dolph Ziggler. I mean, they did okay with their verbal exchange last week, but it's not like anyone is buzzing about seeing The Miz and Dolph Ziggler face off for a secondary championship again. It's nice that WWE can generate some interest with their hotshot booking or work shoot segments, but they need to be much better about following up on things. It's like they want to just wow you with this big shocking moment, and then they really haven't thought about it going forward. They haven't really thought about the follow-up. Now, WWE better heat up this Hunter angle quickly and do a much better job of showcasing Kevin Owens. They're heading into the toughest month of their year. Now, next week, you've got the ESPN Monday Night Football doubleheader. Then you have Monday Night Football, obviously, for the remainder of the year. On September 26, they have the usual Monday Night Football competition, and something that will actually dwarf it, is my guess, in terms of viewership, the huge Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump presidential debate, the very first debate between the two presidential candidates. This is going to be huge. I mean, it's normally a big deal when presidential candidates engage in their first debate. This one, I mean, with some of the shocking things that Trump has said and all of that in past debates, this is a big deal. And, it's on a Monday night. Ouch. So, I mean, I really think September is like the toughest month WWE has in terms of competition for Raw. Now, last week, I thought they gave themselves a hot angle that could really give them their best chance to at least retain viewers or keep viewers changing channels and checking in on what's going on Raw. But again, I'm just not as fired up about the Raw product coming out of last night's show. It wasn't the worst show they've done, but they just didn't maintain that buzz heading into next week's show. They did tell us that Roman Reigns is going to face Kevin Owens in a non-title match next week, and he has a chance to turn the Night of Champions main event, which is currently Owens against Rollins, and he can turn that into a triple threat, and it'll be for the WWE Universal Championship either way. Now, I like that they advertise something for next week. It does give fans some incentive to watch Raw. I think they could have taken it a step further, and I'm guessing they'll announce a lot of different things on, you know, leading up to Raw. If they, you know, start finalizing things this week creatively, maybe we start getting some hype then. But at the very worst, Monday, I think they're going to be throwing a lot at us throughout the day, trying to give us reasons to tune in for Raw that night. But when it comes to Reigns, I just don't know how many of his haters are going to care enough about a non-title match, or whether he gets into the Backlash main event if he does win this non-title match, to care. If they're a football fan, they might, you know, they may flip over. I just don't feel like they presented anything that's must see. I said last week, gosh, I was really hoping they'd give us Kevin Owens' first title defense. And no, it didn't have to be against Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns, but Neville, you know, something like that. He's a vulnerable champion, and if you position him that way, you know, take advantage of it. Some people feel like they should have made him out to be a stronger champion. Instead of having Triple H basically be responsible, they really could have made him that night by having him go over in a way that was more about him and less about Triple H. And I'm okay with the fact that they made him a vulnerable heel champion, because I think that's how they see him. And yeah, I mean, you can get into whether it's the right move or the wrong move, whatever. The point is, you made him vulnerable. Exploit it. Take advantage of it. Put him in there. Build somebody up. Make it seem like they have a chance to beat Kevin Owens for that championship in his first title defense. They're not doing it. You know, you have to wait until the pay-per-view to see him face either Rollins or Rollins and Reigns, just depending on the outcome of the match next week. I did mention that Dean Ambrose against AJ Styles is the best title feud that SmackDown can have. And again, you can argue that John Cena challenging Ambrose can be good, and that's fine. But with Cena out of the picture for this television show shoot, at least seemingly, you know, I don't know exactly when he goes. Again, this is about as big as it gets for the time being. So why was it that I saw more or at least the same number of ads for the Women's Six-Pack Challenge match on Raw than the actual Backlash main event? Now, they did tell us that Styles would confront Ambrose in the middle of the ring on SmackDown, but they really never even bothered to tell us about the Usos facing American Alpha or the tag team tournament, and, you know, in any of that in the advertising for the show. I just found it really strange that, you know, this is your flagship show, And yeah, there's supposed to be competition and all that between them, whatever. I just kind of roll my eyes when Michael Cole is like beating the drum for Raw, and he's the only one, basically, aside from Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley, because that's true. Who really cares outside of the broadcast teams and the authority figures about this competition? No one cares because you don't want people to care. You don't want them to, oh, I choose Raw. I'm not watching SmackDown. Screw them. You don't want them to go, oh, I'm not watching Raw. I'm only watching SmackDown. Screw Raw. No, they don't want that. So it's just kind of silly when that happens. But I just the point of all this, before I get sidetracked, is they got to do a better job. They didn't do a better job of hyping Backlash. They're trying to tell you about Night of Champions or hyping Backlash, and I was curious to see whether they would do that or whether they would wait and go really soft on the Night of Champions coverage until Backlash took place. Then you only have 2 weeks to promote that show. I mean, I give them, as far as like cross promotion, I give them like a D minus. It's been really bad. I mean, I don't think the Raw audience has any reason to feel excited about this Backlash pay-per-view, unless you happen to be a huge fan of the six-pack challenge matches involving women. What a strange approach they took. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated when you help spread the word about the site. And as always, hey, please give a quick retweet when I run the link on our Twitter feed at Pro Wrestling Net. A big thanks to everybody who has already taken the time to do one of those things, or even more than one of those things. I really appreciate the support. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening.